You might want to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6 for a moment. And if we may, perhaps look to the Lord and God help us. Our Father and God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you're already in forever. And as we journey down the corridor of time, in time, always on time, for your grace and mercy. So deal with us according to thy good pleasure, and help us as we try and seek to understand thy word, thy working, thy outworking of your life, in our life. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And we have got sort of sidetracked in our study a little bit of Joshua, and we've been looking at that, why Joshua and the people had such a superior time in their life in those chapter 10, etc. It was a special time. All 12 tribes as one mind. Wow. That's something else. Now, and the only other place you start doing that is jumping ahead in God's holy, happy heaven. They're all of one mind and heart. Zillions of angels, and old Moses and all of them, they're all there to what? To enjoy with one mind and one heart God. Now, here in Ephesians chapter 6, we've been looking at it because that's our privileged place, to be seated in high places. In the light of verse 12, when we do that, we are finding the host, the powers that be, Satan and his system, principalities and powers, not just earthly problems, earthly politics, earthly religion, earthly. No, we aren't talking about that. We're going past that, above that, to the powers that be over this whole system we live in. And that is what we're up against as believers, because the principalities and powers oppose God's plan, God's will. God's, what is his plan? To save whosoever that would believe and give them the outworking of his wonderful plan for their life. Now, having said that little bit, and we said you gotta put on the whole armor of God. That's what you have to do. And in putting on the whole armor of God, like he uses the actual Roman attire, the soldier. And he uses it from head to toe. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so we looked at, put on the whole armor of God. Now, when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, God moved himself into the center of your life. You need to make sure he's in seated, just like our government. You have the executive, legislative, and judicial, and all of that. God, you person jumping, you want to know, when you talk about yourself, you know that as a person, you're able to say, I am, I actually am. God, who is I am, made me. And you and I am, we're actually humans, saved not I am. And second thing, I am, I will. I'm able to make decisions. I will. All of us have the right to choose. We run the show in here. And thirdly, I am, I will, I ought. We're morally responsible for what we do and not do, right and wrong. Now, having said that and keeping that, and we're able to enjoy God's awesome person, and as I am, I will, I ought. And so I'm able to enjoy and make a decision to know God, to honor God, to be saved. And I need to understand God has made it possible. He took over in my heart when I received him as my Savior, and he became my God and my Savior. That's what he did, and for you too, I trust. Now, having said that, therefore I'm able to go, and God, his presence provides everything. In particular, in this particular way, instance we're looking, when it comes to the higher powers, the rulers of darkness, principalities and powers in high places, when it comes to that, God in us is the boss. He's the boss. And the principalities and powers would like to do anything and everything they could to stop us enjoying being seated in high places. So therefore, verse 14, therefore, having put on your loins, girt about with truth, and we looked at the truth. God is the truth. God makes the truth, is the truth. And therefore, you put that around your loins, so what? You can stay real and right in a world of make-believe, in a world that denies light and puts in place of it darkness. We're able to go and enjoy truth. True. We read God's word, it's true. God is true. He's the true God. So we don't have to play a game with it. We don't have to go back and forth and debate and talk about it. He is who he is. He is the true God. He is the truth of God. He tells the truth about himself. Therefore, and we did that little bit just to remind ourselves that we have truth. So what we're talking about, facing the world we live in, facing it, that what we have and what we're to know the truth. So in the midst of all the lies and deception, we know the truth. Secondly, verse 14, we're to put on, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having on the breastplate of righteousness. And that does something wonderful for us. God, in his rightness, saves us rightly. It is the right thing for you to be saved. It is right for you to be saved. In a world that would question, challenge, you even do it in your own mind, maybe. But it's right. Put on the breastplate of righteousness that covers from the neck down to the thighs and the little thing, and covers all your vital organs, your heart and lungs and all of that. It covers it. Now, in order to just get that rightness, God, what about rightness? And if you go back to Genesis, you don't at the moment, Genesis chapter 18, Sodom and Gomorrah, God's looking at it. He's going to judge it. Abraham looking with God. God looking and Abraham's looking. And Abraham says to God, shall not you do the right thing? Because he knows Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot are way, way off the beaten path, and therefore he looks to God. You wouldn't judge the righteous. You wouldn't judge them. You're going to go and judge Sodom and Gomorrah. But you wouldn't judge the righteous, would you? And then he goes to his Genesis 18, and you come to verse 25. And then Abraham says to God, in his, for his case, God, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You can't do wrong. You can't do wrong. So we're looking, we're trusting. God, you can't do it wrong. And therefore, God goes the sequence, you know, down to 10, etc. Now, and God judges Sodom and Gomorrah. And in the judgment of God, he does the right thing in the right way at the right time. And Lot, who Abraham was concerned about, and Lot, what do we know about Lot? Over to Peter, if you would. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, what do you know? And you already know it, I'm sure, but read it just to see it. What do we know about Lot? You would never, 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 I would never say he's saved. But, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, of the judgment going down. Verse 4, he spared not the angels. Verse 5, he spared not the old world and saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of what? Righteousness. He said for 120 years, he said, you need to do it right, and God has to be right in what he does, and God is going to judge the whole ball of wax and save just Noah and his family. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And therefore, in God's judgment, and they're sliding down. Verse 5, he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person's preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. In other words, people that live what you want, always remember the Genesis flood. None of them survived. And, verse 7, and delivered, and then there's a little word, J-E-S-T, just, righteous. God took Lot. He was righteous. He believed God. He lived in Sodom, but boy, down in his gut, he really had trusted God and was trusting God. And so God tells us in verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He was saved as by fire. Like in Jude, don't even touch the clothing they wear. They're saved, don't even touch their clothing. Leave them alone. I'm going to save them anyway. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God, you have a righteous is very important. Everything has to be right. You can't be saved unless things are right. You can't have, the world can't exist unless it can come out right. Therefore, little exercise, over to Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 31. And in Isaiah chapter 31, picking up, if I may, in verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And all the subjects you're reading, you're looking at the millennium coming up, Christ is going to reign in righteousness. How is the 1,000 years going to be? It's going to be right. How can it be right in the midst of unsaved people? He rules with a rod of iron. So, that kingdom is 1,000 years, it's going to be right because the king is right. Sliding over to see it. Verse 15. Until, looking in that kingdom, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. Righteousness makes things come out right. Rightness, not wrongness. It has to be right. Right. And remember, we've gone, taken a big sheet of white paper and put it up, and there's nothing on it. If I put a little dot on it, a little dot on that big piece of white paper, it's unacceptable. There must be not even a dot on that white paper. It must be right from top to bottom. Rightness. Watch it. The millennium. Now, picking up, if I can, chapter 46. How is God going to save us? Save Israel. Chapter 46. Picking up in verse 12. 12 and 46. Hearken unto me, and ye stout-hearted, very stubborn, strong. Unto me ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. You don't even know what rightness is. Therefore, God, how could you possibly save them? Verse 13. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. It's my rightness. I'm right, said the Lord God, in going to the cross in the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ. I'm right. And that's why I can die on the cross and save you, because all that I'm doing is right. It's not wrong. And God is perfectly holy and righteous, and it's not wrong what he does. God put on the breastplate of righteousness because what God is doing is right in your life. Amidst everyone that says it can't be true, it isn't true, never happened, no. Going over if I can. 51. Isaiah 51. Oh, in verse 5. All the same movement going through the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 51, 5. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. In other words, God's going to be a wonderful Savior. Sliding over. Picking up, please, in verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, new heavens and new earth. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Verse 7, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye, Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. Verse 8, for the moth doth eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool, but my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. You can count on it. Chapter 54. And picking up in verse 13. And all the children, 54, 13, following it, all the children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come nigh thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy name's sake. Now, having said that, God, over to, if I can, chapter 59. And chapter 59. Now we're going to come back, tie it together to Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Isaiah 59, picking up, please, in the light of God's coming, tribulation, God's judgment, and then 1,000 years of the kingdom, rightness. Isaiah 59, picking up verse 14. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. In other words, the whole thing is so bad, I'm going to have to fix it. Like in Genesis flood, I got to fix it. But I can't go. I'm not going to flood again. I'm not going to do that again, because all of those, like we shared on Wednesday, all of those humans, in my mind, said God, in Adam, have to be born. And all the people that have to be born 10 years from now have to be born. They have to be born. God has to finish, because why? He died to save them all. And they have to be born to deny and reject being saved. Hang on. Now, Isaiah 59, verse 17, he brought salvation, verse 16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. He went to the cross rightly. What he's going to do is right. Verse 17, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. In the end, tribulation, the world's going to go against him, battle of Armageddon, etc. But in the meantime, what are we doing? Put on the whole armor of God. Put it on, the whole armor of God. Put it on. You have to understand, it has to all work out what we're looking at, the tribulation, the Armageddon, the kingdom, all of it has to work out. It's going to work out rightly. But you have to understand, in my doing what I'm doing, it's right what I'm doing. But you have to go and look and be saved and trust me as it works out. So what are you going to do to make it? Here we are living in this body. We get saved and God tells you, do you understand? You're going to get clipped, because I've done such an awesome thing in making your heart my home and making my home for your heart, my heaven. In my house are many abiding places, So, God, what are you doing? I'm telling you, God said, listen, you're going to have to what? Put on the whole armor of God, or you're going to get clipped. You won't enjoy what I've done for you, what I'm doing for you. You won't enjoy it. You get dull. You lose your heart. And people do lose their heart, you know. That's the trouble we have. We got it. You always have it. And anyway, I don't want to do all that stuff. You understand? I want to live for God. Remember you said that? I want to live for God. I heard you. And then I wait. And what happened to you want to live for God? It cools. And you lost the love. And when you lose the love, all you have is the law. All you have is the book. And you can sit there intellectually and listen and try to learn. But without the love of God, it ain't going to work long, because you can only intellectually so absorb, but you have to do it on AM. If you're doing it on FM, it's all clicking. It stirs and stimulates your heart. Don't sit there like on the log. You got it. And it does that. It makes you full and able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. So God, what are you going to do? You go and give us a warm heart. Otherwise, you get intellectual. And like we're doing in Jude, in 1 John, 2 John, 1 John chapter 2, they went out. Do you know, you can only intellectually absorb what we're doing. And pretty soon, if it doesn't find life, you get sort of hard. And you get tired of listening to that which never goes anywhere and never does anything. So unless you're really stubborn, you could do it, hang in there for 20 years. But if you don't let it germinate, you don't let it produce life, then it ain't going to last long. And pretty soon, the heart forgets, I don't want to learn. Revelation chapter 2, they lost their first love. And that led to what? A, B, C. Revelation chapter 3, Laodicea. And they lost their whole love of God. And they're trying to be intellectual and enjoy truth. And they lost the love that makes truth jump out of the pages. They lost it. And people lose the love. It's the way it is. You sit, you're intellectual. And then you sit there, you got it. No, you don't. It has to germinate and produce life. It's a whole other world. It's the world we live in. Now, but, in the light of that, I don't want to, anyway. When we get to heaven, we'll never get sidetracked again. Do you understand? We'll be so in tune. Whatever's going on forever, you're going to be in tune. You'll never be in the wrong page. You'll always be in the right page in the right way at the right time in whatever God's doing. And that's going to last. There is no more time. Now, we can't understand that. But there is no more time. And we don't understand forever. I can say forever, but it isn't. It's just forever. It never ends. It never ends. We can't understand that. Isn't that good? Why is it good? Because God, G-O-D, happens to be something else. And that's who saves you. And that's who loves you. God is something else. Wow. Most don't know we got a church to do whatever, we're happy music, whatever we got, but we lost it. Yeah, it's fine. We aren't into being entertained. You're sitting here, and we, including myself, ought to be a stimulating thing to move our head and heart to understand God's awesome presence. Otherwise, we come in and out, and we're sort of still stupid about the whole thing. And we don't want to do that. It ought to be an exercise. Now, personal. So, Isaiah chapter 59. I'll read verse 17. Put on all righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands. He will repay recompense. Verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And when they want to go against me, put on the whole armor of God. That isn't your armor. It isn't my armor. It's God's armor. It's God himself. And when they come this way at you, or you come this way, inside, outside, God said, listen, I'm going to protect you, put the armor on so that what? You can enjoy my righteousness. What I do is right. I want you to enjoy my rightness. They gone again. I said, God does it right. The plane crash, whatever, God does it right. He allows whatever. And if we could see it from God's point of view more and more, we would understand. It's amazing. Like he says in Peter, if the righteous are hardly saved with difficulty, let alone anybody, I just get a hold of a person. I never get their heart. I never get them. They're just saved. And I bear it, said God. I bear that. I'm going to save them. But in the process of doing that, God, you'll let all kinds of things, because humans leave God out in their mind and heart, and therefore all kinds of things happen in all kinds of ways. But God, you always do it, allow it to come out rightly. It all has to be right when it's done. Wow. Now, having said that, Isaiah, our Lord Jesus Christ has to go to the cross. So, now put together that which you know. 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 5, and put that together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21, directly, 5 and 21. For he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us. Why? He became and took our place on Calvary's cross. He became sin for us. Who knew no sin? That purpose, the rightness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what. He did the right thing in the right way to save us. So when we receive Christ as our Savior, God has done what? Is it right for me and you to be saved? Absolutely. Do we deserve it, earn it, merit it? Never. Never, never, never. No, it's a gift. A gift to God. And God did it. God did it wonderfully. And thus, he did it to provide for us to be saved rightly. And 1 Corinthians and chapter 30. First Corinthians in chapter 30, as you know, verse 29, no flesh. 1 Corinthians 1:29, you know it, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30, but of him, God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has done something. God made, God has made unto us, God made Christ unto us, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And if we're going to get excited about anything, verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, I'll boast, let him glory a boast in the Lord. What did God do? God made the believing heart righteous. That's why David can say, God, my righteousness, you owe me. Where did you get righteous, David? The same as Abraham. Abraham believed God, and what? It was counted to him for righteousness. So, David, what are you doing? You're claiming, and God loves it. You understand that. If you want to see God excited, that's a silly thing to say. God, what do you do? When everything is cuckoo, Abraham, Romans 4. Go to Romans 4 in closing, I guess. Romans 4. In Romans chapter 4, picking up, and you'll catch it. Romans 4, verse 2. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. In other words, if Abraham was good enough all by himself, then he could just stand there and say, God, I'm good enough. That's what Israel did as a people, Exodus 19. 4. What saith the scriptures? Verse 3. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now unto him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, if you're going to do it by your works, but, verse 5, but to him that worketh not, N-O-T, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So where's our righteousness? God, put on the breastplate of righteousness so that you can handle what? All the wrongness. You know from 2 Corinthians 11 and that. What does the devil do? He has his ministers, his servants, angels, as ministers of righteousness. They aren't really right, but they're telling everything it's okay, it's okay, it's right, it's right, it's okay. It's all wrong. It's a lie. But they're busy doing it, making rightness that's really wrong. The righteousness that a human heart needs is the righteousness that only God can provide. He provided it in Christ Jesus when he did the right thing to save whosoever that would believe. So here we are looking, Romans in chapter 4, sliding over to verse 19. Verse 18, here's Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, she wasn't doing very well. Verse 20, neither one of them said it's a silly thing. We can never have an Isaac. We can never have an Isaac. And God, but God had got them 25 years ago, took 25 years to get them ready for this. So be of good cheer when you have to, God waits on you. He waited 25 years for Adam, for Abraham and Sarah to say what? God, we can't, but you can. We can't, but you can. And they believed God. Now, so therefore, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. God said, that's the right thing. Abraham said, we believe. You're doing the right thing. You're believing. You're going to let me do the right thing? I want you to do the right thing and know that I'm going to do the right thing. So you're going to trust me. Sickness, easy, much, little, whatever. You're going to have to trust me. In the wrong world, a world that loves darkness, your old nature, God, you're going to have to trust you. We're going to have to trust you. For what? You can't do wrong. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness like we did with this church and that. Don't you have, God gives you a wonderful relationship and you want to be able to go and put on. God gives you, put on, to be dressed is the verb, to put on like clothes. We already have our old nature. We wear it every day, 24 hours a day. But God has given us a wonderful relationship to himself, and we're to what? We're to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Everything has become new. I want you to exercise your relationship to rightness, to who I am, and put on the whole armor of God so that you can handle it. The rulers of darkness have no mercy. The world system has no mercy. God has mercy. So here we are. And God, you have to help us. So hope you get a little bit. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. And you'll understand what God is doing. It's his armor. It's his righteousness. And it's his doing. So therefore, thank you, God. This isn't mine. This is his. And I'm going to put on his armor. And his armor has no problem. In fact, the day is coming, like in Isaiah 59, and God's going to roll up his sleeves in Armageddon and take care of the world system. One shot. Okay. Our Father and God, thank you for your word a little bit. Help us inch by inch as we go down the corridor of time just to recognize how much you have done to save us in a very wonderful way that you have done it so that we can understand and we can put on the whole armor of God and that we can enjoy the trip. So God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Here we are. Deal with the heart of the sick and the weak. And God, we've got them, and they need your grace. Not only they need your grace and mercy, but so do we. We aren't going to do it without you. So outwork your righteousness, that this all will come out right. Even so, come. In Christ's name, amen.